You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, where just before we went on, Ramon was trying to do his best Al Pacino hoo-ha. And now that I've exposed this to the public, go at it, Moan.
Ooh, that's where it was, right there.
There's more of a ha in there, too.
Yeah, it was something like that. Hoo-ha. You know how it is when you ask somebody to do something. You can repeat totally it, but different. It's not the same, you know?
Totally different. Totally different. Why do people watch this? They do run the very real risk that we're going to start off with something stupid. And from there, that it could continue being something stupid for the duration, you know?
It could, man, if they knew what we talked about off air, too. Maybe we go viral with some of that stuff, too, DK. We'll keep
some of it would definitely go viral.
No, 100%, man. There's no question
about that. That things aren't always predictable in life, Moan, and they aren't always predictable in football, such as Benny Snell being your leading rusher on Monday Night Football in Indianapolis. But Benny looked authentic.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think? Because I'm inclined to be the guy who gives more of the credit to the offensive line since everybody was running well.
I'm with you on that, man. But I say to this, a guy that came from where Benny did. Benny was the man at his college. I kind of knew that. He carried himself that way. You saw it on some of the clips he had in college where he's looking up at the camera, smiling, smirk. Like he had this bit of swagger. And to be put on the back burner in the sense of how he played, who he played with over these years. You know what I'm saying? Like, not really. I don't know if you say got a fair shake. He got a fair shake, but not what he expected of his career. I mean, I looked it up on this before we came up to do this pod, and I knew he did well at Kentucky because they play against Tennessee every single year. But this dude averaged 1,000 yards every single year in college. Not just that, like double-digit touchdowns and also receiving yards along with that, DK and listeners. And it's not like he was a scrub, a role player. He was the guy. As bad as Kentucky football can be at times, he was very much highlighted throughout that. Yeah, that's my jab at one of my rivals in college.
It was nicer than the one you had off the air for them, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. But, man, I'll say this. For as rigorous as the NFL is and unpredictable and that whole stat of the 1% of guys that make it, to be able to be really the underdog in the sense of where he is in his career as far as his position, meaning, heck, you got Jaylen Warren that leapfrogged him. You know what I'm saying? As far as the reps go at the running back position, got to kind of downgrade yourself in a sense to find a role on special teams, and he's kind of embraced that a whole lot. Six tackles on the season so far, if I'm not mistaken, in the special teams role, but he's on every special team.
Yes.
From punt return, kickoff return, everything you can imagine when it comes down to him being a core player. But when called upon in that Monday night game, Benny looked like the guy that they went out and drafted. Okay. And all I say to this, man, you got to give credit where credit is at. And we had the big conversation about this team doesn't look like a hopeless team. It just looked like a young team, a team trying to find his identity. And I think Benny kind of highlighted that more than anything when it comes down to Najee being knocked out of the game. And let's be real. Benny ran for about 5.1 a carry in the game. You know, if we're looking at the average of it, with a nice touchdown too, DK, that was very much necessary. I got to give kudos to that.
I gotta, I got to hit pause and go to the touchdown.
Yeah.
Because there was something about that TD. And, you know, everyone wants to get into the folklore. And that's what it is, actually, about Kenny Pickett calling that play. But there's a couple of things that happened within that. One, Kenny talked about this himself, both in Indianapolis and then in Pittsburgh, again, after the midweek practice, saying that he and Snell had developed a little bit of a relationship going back to Latrobe, including not just off the field, but also they were out there as part of the same unit offensively in exhibition games. So he said, there is a trust. I believe in Benny Snell. I trust that when I hand him the football, the good things are going to happen.
Wow.
Between that call that Kenny made, Kenny went to the sideline and said, this play works with Benny. Okay? So they go on the field. Benny's out there. He takes the handoff and slides almost sideways to his left. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like this. Yep. And then goes forward and hits the hole.
Yeah.
And I believe I made this reference earlier this week on the show that looked a lot like Le'Veon Bell. Now, he's not Le'Veon Bell. I'm not being an idiot here. Okay. But that particular sequence leads you to see that this is more than just which is what we thought of Benny as being just go get you 2.5 yards, get up and dust yourself off. That Benny was, like you said, an accomplished running back in college with actual production, you know, that doesn't just come from a cloud of dust.
No, it doesn't just come from there. And you bringing it up and having a conversation with Kenny about how that all evolved, like, that's why I think the offseason OTAs is always important. That's why, you know, old and young guys showing up on time to camp or whether it's mini camp and the, those down periods, because here's a guy that's comfortable with Benny. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of just, I trust this guy. I'm not saying he doesn't do the same for Najee, but he's worked with him. He understand, they're speaking the same language if we're being real.
Yeah.
Two guys fighting for a position, right?
Yep.
Fighting to be relevant in the NFL. Because say what you want about Kenny being a first rounder, he's still fighting to be relevant.
Right.
And that's why I kind of give credit to what Benny Snell has been able to do so far. And let's be honest too, DK, we can say this since the game is done. Nobody wanted to lose to the Colts.
Oh,
right?
Geez. You had to go there. You AFC now. You AFC South nerd.
No.
You had to go there.
Not even just that, but they're trash right now. And they what are. You don't want from your team is being beat by another bad team, right?
Their defense isn't trash, okay? Let's put it that way.
Look at DK getting smooted. I love it.
We have some loyal citizens here.
I love it, man. Look, Dolly's like, whatever. Somebody needs to.
Yeah. She's looking like, what?
That's perfect right there.
Somebody just walked in.
Yeah.
Fans of the Ramon Foster show, no doubt.
But that's basically what Benny Snell was able to do this past weekend, okay, this past Monday, was basically blow a kiss to all the Steeler Nation, say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still a part of this team. And I was just glad.
You never know what you're going to see on this show. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the other side of the football and another player we've been hoping to highlight today. Don't overthink it because he's on the rise.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. For the record, the smooch came from my man Gary Lawless, who used to be he used to cover the Winnipeg Jets for the Free Press up there, and then has since moved on to be an employee of the Vegas Golden Knights, also in the NHL. They happen to be staying right across the street.
Wow.
Moan, have you ever run into somebody that it was in a totally weird spot where you didn't expect to run into anybody that you knew?
Oh, yeah.
And then you freeze? That's what happened here. I just froze. Like, I'm looking at it. I'm going, that looks like Gary Lawless, but I'm not, like,
you
and I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
Not paying attention. It's like, and as soon as he walks out, I'm like, look at my way, Gary Lawless.
Yeah. That's cool. And what's even crazier is because you got an open door policy at the shop. Anybody can walk in. So well, he saw you.
He knew what was going on here, too, because he does his own shows and stuff like that and has for years. But anyway,
with just homies all around like that. I know somebody's paying for dinner soon, huh, since he's in town.
Well, he's the Vegas guy. He can now pay for dinner.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's one of the neat things about having our studio down here downtown like that. Anybody can just walk in, including the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, look at that. Don't take them down, DK.
Alex Highsmith is a player who is doing so well and on such a rise with the Steelers that no less an authority than Cam Hayward said to me after the game the other day, pointed over toward him getting dressed, 56. He said, that guy is getting things done right now. More than what people see.
Mm-hmm.
What's your impression of him beyond the 10 sacks, Mo? 10 sacks is right there for everybody to see.
I know, but you know what's even more wild? We're not even speaking that high of it. It's just happening. And I think that's just him in the sense of what Alex Highsmith is. I'm impressed by him. He ended up coming in to take over the spot that Bud has across the street from where TJ plays, and everybody wants to talk about everybody but him. And TJ is the defending defensive player of the year, so I get that. But here's a dude, man, that ended up getting a sack in the Colts game that was necessary at the time. And you saw him bend that edge like that and just get after that tackle. But he's been doing that clearly because his numbers say that. I continue to say, how in the heck do the Steelers find these type of dudes? You know what I'm saying? Like, from Charlotte. Nobody expects that, and I love to see guys from those type of universities that are able to be the player that they want to be on the highest level, meaning in the NFL. What can he be, man? I'll tell you what. If he continues on this track, this dude has the NFL in his hands if they start to take notice of it. But, of course, that all has to take into play with winning, too. If this was an above 500 team, the conversation's so much different about what he's doing so far.
There's no question about that because it's not just the sacks. That's the point I'm pretty sure Cam was trying to make with me here. It's not just about how often does he get back there and finish with the splash. When you are a Steelers edge rusher, you have a specific responsibility, just like they talk about the running backs. If you don't block, you don't get on the field. Well, if you're an edge rusher with the Steelers and you're not sealing the edge on the run, you will not play.
No, sir.
It's as simple as that. That was indoctrinated into Bud Dupree, remember?
Yeah, and it still holds true because I see him when he's playing here in Nashville, man. That left side, I saw Lamar Woodley do it. I've seen James Harrison be able to do that. You're right. There is an idea that nobody runs to that side. We flush everything to everybody else, and he's held that up. And what's so interesting, too, about Alex Highsmith, you see him on the field, and you're like, yeah, he's a nice-sized dude. But then you see him in person. I saw him in person. I'm like, this is a big dude.
Like, looks like a defensive end almost.
Yeah, 100%. It almost looked like he can put his hand in the dirt. Man, this dude is like 6'4", 240, 250. Like, he's not a small individual, and he's playing good. He's always readily available, too. Knock on wood as I say that, because I enjoy watching him play. He's been more than solid.
Yeah, one of the things that Cam brought up, too, is you saw in the second half, the Steelers, as you pointed out on the program yesterday, were having a tough time getting penetration in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. Cam wasn't getting there. Larry wasn't getting there. Tyson wasn't getting there. So what happened was the edge rushers would kind of meet in the back like a conference call behind the quarterback, and it wasn't doing anybody any good because Matt Ryan was left with a halo.
Yeah,
and he was. And what ended up happening, a couple things. One, they got their secondary involved in the blitzing. That's how Terrell Edmonds got back there. That's how Arthur Mollett got back there. But Alex came across too, and you mentioning his physique reminds me that this is someone who was seen as a potential either ILB or OLB coming out of college. Because at frame, he actually looks like not just ILB, but like old school ILB.
Yeah.
Like Hardy Nickerson, you know, or Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's just a different animal, man.
He is, man. But to actually take on that role, and this is the beauty of what he's done so far. What was it, like 2 sacks his first year, the 6 last year, and then now he's double
two
digits
and four.
Already.
He had 6 total in the first 2 years, 10 already this year, and four forced fumbles.
That's insane, man. You need guys to help continue on what this defense really stands for, right? Mm-hmm. As many double teams as TJ is able to get, somebody has to eat, and this is the beauty of what Alex is. Like, this is a third-round draft pick. Yeah, I know that's still pretty high up when you're talking about draft picks, but he's outdoing guys drafted before him in his draft year in a major, major way. And, again, I hate that this team isn't winning more because he would be one of those, hey, vote for Pro Bowl at least. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he deserves that when you're doing the numbers that he has in front of him.
Would you pay him?
I was going to avoid that because I know what the situation is.
We're not avoiding it.
This is year three. He's not a first rounder. There's no fifth year option. Right?
Right.
You have to at some point. Because this is the thing. He's got the biggest, like, he's got the best cards in the deck. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody really behind him as far as depth goes. And he's proving you that he's worth it. Going into this fourth year, unless Omar's philosophy changes as far as franchising or paying a guy early, Alex is peaking at the right freaking time. To answer your question through all of that, yes, you have to.
Yeah, I think you have to.
The beauty of it, too, and what we spoke about, too, DK, he's you're dealing with a rookie franchise quarterback that's not taking up a major part of the cap.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You build
Take
around
advantage
him.
Of it.
Yeah. Are we wrong to suggest that? Like, we'd be idiots not to say you better take advantage now and then go draft another guy maybe next year or the year after.
Take advantage of it. You don't arguably don't even need to be paying the backup quarterbacks what you're paying them. So there's something to be said there. You know, there just is. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you pay him?
Am I paying him?
Yeah.
I'd have to look more into it, but why wouldn't you?
You better get him before you get real hot, right?
I don't know that he's that guy. I don't know that he's that guy that's going to explode like TJ.
Do
you know what I'm saying?
I'm
saying that respectfully.
Or before somebody else in his class actually raised the bar a whole lot higher than what the Steelers want to pay for him.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. They have the cap space. It's not like they're so loaded on defense that they can just say, let him walk, we'll get another one. You know what I'm saying?
He got the power right now, yeah.
I would agree with that. When we come back, the only segment that matters. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show and the only segment that matters. It's brought to you always by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where quality is at the core of every menu item. 3 expert chefs, not 1 or 2, Moan, 3 expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, app, and pilgrim are crafted for craveability. Order your favorite entry at the Get-Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. And today's entry comes from, where is this here? Somebody who goes by O-Funkadelic, whatever, says, hey, you know, it's your account. How about Moan? Oh, wait, hang on. Stepping back. Hey, Moan, how about Dan Moore? Is he improving? What's going on? Is he confused out there at times? This isn't his rookie year, is it? What do you think?
That's So discussing him, man, is kind of like hot and cold sometimes for a lot of different reasons. One part of me says you're supposed to get better from year one to year two. Correct? That's always the coach's stilos.
It's certainly the head coach's mantra.
What you did in year one is not going to keep you around in year two. And a portion of me says he's the starter, and it looked like he hasn't just progressed the way we would want him see him progress, right? We're seeing a lot of junk on film and
at that position.
At that position that you just kind of say, golly, dog, get it together. And then the other side of me knows and kind of say, too, offensive linemen, really, it takes time to get good. You know, as far as like being a pro, understanding footwork, understanding the game, getting smarter than the defense, learning the offense, you know, all those types of things to where I'm like, okay, he's deserves some time. He deserves some, you know, mulligans as far as where it goes. But I think this team is too fragile of a team to be able to allow that to actually happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the guy that started all 16 last year. And so he should understand what the NFL cycle is like, what the demand is like, what the play is supposed to mean, how it's supposed to be elevated. But it also say to him, there is no real vet that's been beside him to kind of tell him, hey, young fella, you like putting his foot to the flames and saying, this is what you need to be doing. Like really going at him, because it's really, he's amongst his peers as far as who can critique who, unless they've gotten to that point of saying, hey, man, you better do your bleeping job or this is going to happen. Like, you get better results when your peers kind of pressure you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And due to the fact that you got two new outsiders, you got a young guy next to him, and Dotson is still – he's in the same boat as Dan Moore. And you got Chooks, who's really not a talker, with the new offensive line coach too. So there's a lot of things that's really kind of going into what Dan Moore has kind of turned into. Has he progressed? Has he backtracked a little bit? I don't know if this staff is going to be able to give him that much time to get better unless he takes a tremendous jump next year. Heck, you got people tweeting out on social media, look at the starting left tackle for Ohio State. That's the Steelers left tackle for next year.
Yeah.
You don't have those conversations if Dan is doing his job. But they don't draft. Those people don't. Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I told you that where did the Steelers play? Oh, that was here. It was it was in Pittsburgh. And he couldn't be found after the game. And that's not very offensive line-ish. Okay. You guys are always there. You're standing there. You're waiting to hold court. You're doing it right next to each other. And I'm happy to say that that's been passed along. This group is, Moan, they're standing there. They're not sitting even. Yeah. They're standing there waiting for you to come over, okay? Unless there's something, you know, whatever. I think I mentioned to you, James Daniels had, like, blood coming down his arm. Listen, dude, go take care of your arm, okay? We don't matter. But I couldn't find more after that game. And then here we were in Indianapolis, and there's more.
Yeah.
And he's standing there. And so I went, and I seized the opportunity and spent some good time with him. And there's an awareness there, Moan. He's not – this is a really bright kid. You know that. You've dealt with him.
Yeah, and that's
there's an awareness. He knows what he has to do.
One of the most mature things he did when I reached out to him about coming on here in the summertime, he's like, man, I got to focus on
getting prepared
for the season. It's like, I promise you I got you in the offseason. That to me was like, he gets that aspect of it, that the job comes first. You know, I always tell you, no matter what guys do on or off the field, you better ball and you better make sure the reason I'm coming to you, being that you are a football player, is what you need to be doing good. So he has that mental aspect of it. Are we afforded to say he has a sophomore slump? You know what I'm saying? Because it's the focal point of this offense is the run game ain't what you need it to be. The protection been kind of bad. So you just looking at where it's been bad at, and Dan Moore, kind of you circle him more times than not.
Well, let's do that, because I think that's what the questioner's coming to you for, okay? You know what he's not doing right, and you know what he's doing right. Tell us what those are.
Mistakes are fine, okay?
Okay.
You can miss an assignment. You can give up a sack. You can have a bad game. You can have two bad games, maybe even three, DK. But the things that you make those mistakes and get highlighted from, those things that we see on film, on the replay, on the games that we watch week in and week out, he's got to do a better job of making those disappear faster. Yeah.
Learn.
And he hasn't done that. Mm-mm. That learning edge of okay, making it go away. You may have gotten me twice in a game, but you're not going to get me next week, at least not directly next week. And we've seen guys go at him. But I've also seen him after he gave up the sack to Yannick. Yannick didn't get much more. That sack, we spoke about that. That wasn't on him. That was on the running back. That was on Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Anthony McFarland and Kenny. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So he'll have a mess up, and then he goes straight, and you see the athletic ability. You see him lock guys out. You see him get in space and do some stuff. And again, I go back to it. It does take time for offensive linemen. Am I out on him? No. Am I hard-pressed to challenge him? Heck yes. And I know I didn't give you a real answer of what it was, but I've seen guys be real bad, okay? And then the next year, there's a switch, and they get it more. Mm-hmm. This is a super young team. It really has no guidance in the positions that are probably asked to lead more. You got Coach Tomlin grabbing Najee Harris and making him be with Cam Hayward so that they can have an offensive leader. Najee's in year two. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things were like, we grew up into those roles. You have no leader on offense that's able to call out somebody the way we were able to do. You know what I'm saying? You spoke about Chooks the other day. Were we off air talking about how great Chooks played? Well, in our room, it'd be times where we see him do those things, and then he go back to the young guy mode, and he would get cussed out. He would get like, hey, man, what the heck are you doing? That's the dude we need to see week in and week out. There's nobody to actually like be able to go at them that way because they're all peers. They're all the same age. You see what I'm saying? So to say I'm out on Dan, I can't necessarily say, am I happy with his play? No, but I guarantee you there's nobody harder on his play than he is. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's always the possibility, too, that he could move inside, which is something that I know gets discussed inside the Steelers circles, obviously not with him. And we'll see how that goes. Some of that might depend on how the draft goes, how free agency goes. There's certainly a future for Dan Moore in some capacity. There really is, though. Moan, let's do this again tomorrow.
That was a great question, man. It really went like the life of the NFL in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it again.
I'm here if you are, DK.
Yeah, I guess.